Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guests, Dennis Gulick and Jeff Petucci of the Pennsylvania State Police, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
Okay, so you're running around Bedford County, and you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and this very official-looking automobile comes up behind you. They've got a rack full of lights, and they got little antennas on top, and it says Pennsylvania State Police on the side. So what do you do? Well, you slow down. You start acting like a good citizen that you are, and you hope and pray this guy isn't going to pull you over for something that you didn't do. And I think that sometimes is the way people pretty much react every time they see a state police car in Bedford County or any other of the 67 counties here in Pennsylvania. So I'm here today to put away all the myths you hear about the state police. And we've got two experts with us. We have Sergeant Dennis Gulick, who was the commander of the Bedford Barracks, and we have Jeff Petucci, who was with the Hollidaysburg Barracks and serves as public affairs officer for the state police. And I want to thank both of you for taking the time to talk to us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to get a little history of the state police. I think it's kind of interesting. I have read a little bit about this, but I want you to tell me, and maybe I can go to you, Jeff, for this. State police is, as a police force, isn't really that old in Pennsylvania, is it?
Well, we started back in 1905. Then Governor Pennypacker signed legislation that basically put the existence of the state police into play back in 1905. So we are 110 plus years old. We've been doing this job for that long.
But this is interesting. So the state police was formed on or about the same time that cars started to come around.
Yes.
So did it have something to do with cars, or is it?
Well, and I will say that when we first started out as a police department, state police department, we patrolled the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on horseback. We had 227 members of the Pennsylvania State Police back in 1905, and they rode horses throughout the state initially,
right?
Until obviously cars came into play, and we then went to cars.
Right. But I mean, it's interesting since we have an enormous state, 300 plus miles wide, so it must have required a lot of state police back then to cover some of these counties, or is it just the populated places that they had the state cops?
No, we were throughout Pennsylvania. You know, back like I said, when we started back in 1905, there were only 227 initial troopers that were covering the state of Pennsylvania. Then as time progressed, we added more to the ranks.
Right. Well, Sergeant Gulick, obviously we are a few years later in 2016 in January, and the state police has become a pretty sophisticated law enforcement agency. Can you give me some idea, especially here in Bedford County? You're the commanding officer here, is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. So can you give me some idea of what this barracks does? I know we see you around the townships, and you obviously act as the local police for many townships here in Bedford County.
Yes.
So can you explain us a little bit about what a day is like for a state trooper when they're out there on patrol?
When this barracks here, there's actually two different units. We've got the patrol unit, and we've got the criminal investigation unit. Patrol unit is the one that most of the public's familiar with. They're the ones that drive the marked cars, the lights, wear the gray and black uniform that the public sees most often. They'll come in here at the beginning of their shift, spend a few minutes, get their paperwork in order, return any phone calls they have to, and then they'll head out to their assigned patrol zone. Any given shift, I might have anywhere from 4 to 5 to up to 10 or 15 troopers working one shift, and we respond from patrol zones. A lot of people think that we hang out at station, we're like firemen, and we go from there. That's not the case. We have about 8 different patrol zones in the county, and each patrol zone is assigned a trooper, and the trooper will head there and begin his shift. And if somebody calls the barracks here, needs service, or calls 911, we dispatch them via radio, and they head out from their patrol zone.
In fact, I want to ask you a little technical thing. Either one of you can answer this, but when someone picks up the phone in any of these townships and dial 911, it goes through the dispatch center in Bedford. So how does it get to you?
Bedford County Control will actually transfer the call over to our police communications operator sitting at the front desk.
I see. So you actually dispatched him from this building?
Yes.
It isn't done from the courthouse. Okay, interesting. Okay, well, that's part of what I wanted to learn. The other part was that if these officers, these state police troopers, are in a specific zone, they don't leave that zone. In other words, if they're in a zone, I'm just going to make this up because I don't know anything about this, but let's say they're in the southern part of the county and they're in their zone. If you get a call from the northern part of the county, you've got someone else that handles that. They don't have to race up Route 220 to get to the other side of the county.
That's correct, unless that zone car would be tied up on something else.
Mm-hmm. But the advantage, as I've always seen it, is you've got this large quantity of police officers, so should you need more, they're always around because you've got them out on patrol at this time.
Sometimes. Certain days of the week, so I have more working than other days of the week, but we have a good number of troopers here per any given shift, and we're always out there trying to help the public the best we can.
Well, Jeff Petucci is the public information officer for the troops, so you get to tell the story quite a bit. And one of the questions I had was that if a state police officer, say, comes to your house to investigate something, do they have the same authority across the state of Pennsylvania as they do, say, here in Bedford County?
Basically, yes. When we investigate a crime, and it may be another county or another part of Pennsylvania, depending on what type of crime or what type of investigation we're conducting, we may have another trooper from another barracks go to a particular place, residence, address, whatever it may be, to further that investigation. Or if it's one county over, one of our criminal investigators, who's a trooper, may go to that particular county themselves and conduct that investigation.
But what I meant, all state police have the same authority throughout the state.
Yes.
They're not different state policemen for different parts of the state.
That's correct. Right. Yeah, we're all the same.
Well, you know, you see the movies, in the movies where the bad guy's riding in his car, in a bootleg scene or something, and he goes over a certain line, and the policemen have to stop. That doesn't happen in Pennsylvania.
No.
No, okay. So just in case you want a bootleg, I want you to know that. That's not going to happen here. I remember the couple of state police officers I've known in my life, Dennis, that told me when they first go to the academy, let's say they're from Bedford County, and the first place they're assigned is somewhere away from Bedford County. So is that still the case? Is that what happens to these young men, that they go into a different area just to kind of get them out of town?
Yes.
Get them away from home?
Generally, you cannot go to your home troop.
I see.
Right out of the academy.
Right.
So if somebody's from Altoona, they can't come to Bedford out of the academy.
Gotcha.
But they could go to Clearfield, which is Troop C.
I see.
Bedford up in Hollidaysburg, our troop headquarters is Troop G. And generally, you have to stay 1 year at your initial assignment. Now, it's changed over the years. Sometimes it's 3 years, and then they'll change it back to 1 year. Right now, it's 1 year.
Gotcha.
So 1 year out of the academy, then you can put in a request to transfer to a different station to work.
Well, what is your hometown?
I'm originally from Clearfield County.
Clearfield. Okay.
I came to Bedford out of the academy 22 years ago made this my home.
Jeez. Well, just before we went on the air, Jeff and I were talking about what a great county Bedford County is, and I came here from Chester County, which is just outside of Philadelphia, and I think it's sensational, and we're really, really glad to be here. I think everybody's really fortunate to be in this county, to have you guys here. Okay, well, let me ask you something else here. We have a state police force that is pretty pervasive here in the county. We don't have that many local police forces, I assume. I know Bedford Borough does. Every borough does. And I guess if you smatter in some townships have their own police or not.
Liberty Township and Saxon Borough.
That's
up north. They combined.
So everybody else depends on you folks. So I think a lot of people always ask, well, if a state police officer is covering this whole area, is the response time going to be good? Is response time pretty good here, we'd say, for these counties?
I think it is.
Yeah.
It depends a lot of times how many guys I have out, how busy we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if we're down in Artemis on something, then something happens in Breezewood, it may take us a little while to get there.
And I'll add to that, we prioritize our calls as well. A higher priority call will get initial response, and those troopers are going to be responding to that type of an incident.
So if you have a bad incident versus a cat in a tree, it's pretty simple that which way you're going to go.
Correct.
I understand, right?
Yes.
Do you get much cats in trees?
Not so much.
You don't get that stuff as much? Okay. Now, I have another question for you. Maybe I could pose this to you, Jeff. And by the way, just so you know, our guests today are Sergeant Dennis Gulick and Trooper Jeff Petucci, both of the Pennsylvania State Police, and we're at their barracks here at the Art Hershey Center. And it's just great to have you on the program today, and I appreciate it very much. Tell me about the state police we see on the Turnpike. I understand that's a different outfit.
Well, Turnpike troopers that's Troop T for the Turnpike, and they do a lot of traffic enforcement, because there's a lot of traffic on the Turnpike. But they're troopers just like we are, in different parts of the state.
But if a trooper is assigned to the Turnpike, would they be involved in any of the work you do here in Bedford County? Or
generally,
could you call them if you wanted them, I guess is my question?
They will. If we're short on, if we need help, we can always, they're like the cavalry.
Right.
We call
okay.
them, they come, they'll help us out. But generally, the Troop T troopers, they don't do too much criminal work.
Right.
If there's a major incident out on the Turnpike, they call us, and Bedford Station does the investigation. They're basically dedicated to traffic enforcement, handling accidents, along that line.
Well, conversely, if they have a problem, a criminal problem on the Turnpike, they can call you, right?
Right.
Yes.
So that works both ways, I would imagine.
Yes.
Okay, well, because that's where I see most of the state police. I use the Turnpike quite a bit, so, and they're the only policemen on the Turnpike, right? They're
right.
It. Yeah, so that's why I'm going to see them. We are with the Pennsylvania State Police today on Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach, and I want to remind you that today's program is brought to you in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, which proudly supports and celebrates the business community of Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about what it's like to be a state trooper, and maybe if you want to be one, these guys will tell you how you can do it as Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. All the way back to Ben Franklin, Americans have known that well-informed decisions save grief, time, and money. At Thomas, we believe it's our job to share everything we know to help you be well-informed about your transportation choices. You're going to save some grief by learning about prudent financing that works in your favor, not ours. You're going to save time with our Real Cash for Your Car policy that accurately determines your trade-in value. And you're going to save money with our upfront and transparent pricing. What's in it for us is more completely satisfied customers who return for their next car and refer their friends to us. Learn about all of our Thomas 7 Steps to Savings by visiting Thomas Subaru in Bedford now during the Subaru Share the Love event. You'll get a great car. Subaru will donate $250 to selected charities. And best of all, you'll be making a well-informed decision. We think Ben Franklin will be pleased. Thomas Subaru in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years.
See your retailer or Subaru.com for details.
At the turn of the 19th century, Bedford was a small but growing frontier town in the southwestern Alleghenies. The opening of the West had begun, and along with it were families eager to start a new life. Among them was Demetrius Gallitzin, an unassuming but dynamic Roman Catholic priest whose mission was to evangelize the region for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Father Gallitzin was eager to form a new church in this bustling town called Bedford. With the assistance of some willing Catholics, in 1816 he established a new parish called St. Thomas the Apostle. The new church on East Street at the end of the borough was small but functional. Years and two more church buildings later, St. Thomas the Apostle would grow to a major moral and community force in Bedford. Next May, St. Thomas the Apostle celebrates 200 years of continuous and faithful service to Bedford County. We hope you will join us in celebrating this significant bicentennial with the parish family. St. Thomas the Apostle, serving Bedford County since 1816.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the barracks of the Bedford County State Police Offices here. Oh, you know, I wanted to ask you guys something before we get on something else. This building is named for Art Hershey, and this was a man that gave his life here at this barracks. Was he assigned here?
He was a station commander back in he was a crime unit supervisor back in 1999. He was on the way to he was also in the mounting unit. He rode the horses.
Oh, really?
As part-time duty of his, and he was on his way to the Pennsylvania Farm Show. Came upon a crash along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Another trooper was investigating this crash. He stopped to see if he can help. A woman in a pickup truck lost control and basically struck him and killed him instantly.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, he had 28 years on, I think.
Yeah, he had. So he was your commander here.
Yeah. And his son was on the job. Was on the job then and now. And you interviewed his wife too, Brandy Hershey.
Yes, we talked to Brandy, right. But I didn't know the story, so that was thank you very much for telling me about that. I'll tell you, I had a little shock when I first rolled up to this building some years ago and I saw it for the first time, because we had a state representative in Chester County. His name was Art Hershey.
Oh.
And I thought, wait a minute, why'd they name a police barracks after Art Hershey? But it was the other Art Hershey. Okay, well, let's get back and talk to you guys a little bit about something that you brought up, and I talk about local versus state police. You said, Dennis, that your role here is really like the local police force for these townships. So, how does that work with a local resident here? I mean, you perform the same mission, but you do it with obviously a lot of expertise and a lot of depth.
Yes, the Pennsylvania State Police and local police departments were really doing the same job. Biggest difference is, I think, is Pennsylvania State Police has a lot more resources to bring to the table to help solve any major crimes. And what will happen, a lot of local departments, if anything major happens in their jurisdiction, like a homicide, a lot of times they will contact us, maybe not necessarily to take over the investigation, but to bring some of our resources in to help them with their investigation.
So if something happens, a lot of criminal nature, you've got all of this stuff. You've got crime labs, forensics operation. Tell me a little bit about that.
We have crime labs scattered throughout the state. The one we use the most is out in Greensburg. We can send samples out for DNA, kind of like the CSI type stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a forensics unit up in Hollidaysburg that can come down and take fingerprints, photograph the scenes. We have a cars unit, collision accident reconstructionist. They can reconstruct fatal crashes, map them out, map the debris field, take skid marks, determine how fast vehicles were going prior to impact, stuff like that. We have an aviation unit. We have about 7 helicopters throughout the state, a couple airplanes we use for surveillance, and alluding to the history of Pennsylvania State Police, we still have horses. They're kept down in Hershey. We use them. They're mainly used for crowd control. They'll be used probably this summer coming up to the Democratic National Convention down in Philadelphia, and they're pretty intimidating when you got these big horses.
You know, I've heard this all my life about how a crowd will react to a horse completely differently than anything else. It's not like a cop on a bike. And it's, I guess, because of the physical size and mass of this horse walking through a crowd.
Right.
Have you had experience with that yourself?
Every cadet that goes through to Pennsylvania State Police Academy actually has to ride the horses there just to experience it and get a taste of the history of the Pennsylvania State Police.
So a little bit John Wayne, huh? Riding the, okay. It's good. Because I just find that fascinating. I've seen them in parades and I've seen them in ceremonial roles. And occasionally I've seen horses, police officers on horses in cities, you say controlling crowds, but that's interesting, you still have them. So there's a whole other unit. You have the riders. So is that a whole separate outfit or are they part-time equestrian guys, you know?
There's a couple full-timers, mm-hmm. but most of the guys that ride the horses are actually troopers like me and Jeff, and that's a part-time duty of theirs.
Okay, well, so this sounds like a pretty interesting life, Jeff, and what would your recommendation be to a young woman or a young man who wanted to be a state police officer? I mean, first of all, what are the requirements? You have to be pretty smart, I assume. I mean, you can't.
Well, the initial requirements are you need 60 credits of higher education, whether it be from a trade school, a university, college, the school has to be accredited. Now, we do have waivers. Those in the military that serve 4 years active duty, we waive all 60 of those credits. So they can, once they are discharged from the military, they can then sign up to proceed with the process of our job. And there is a process. There's it goes through a written, I say a written test, but it's basically computer-based. And then there's an interview, and then a physical fitness test, a polygraph exam, background investigation, then a psychological and a medical evaluation. And if a candidate is successful through that process, then they are afforded the opportunity to go into our state police academy.
But you do encourage college graduates, no?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, yes, we encourage anybody that's qualified that wants to apply. And we do have a website. It's patrooper.com.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different links. It has all the information that one needs to, read through as far as, being a trooper. And it also has the link to sign up to actually take our test.
PATrooper.com. We'll mention that again before we close the program. You become a trooper in the Pennsylvania State Police. This is a career move. This is not something you're going to do for a couple of weeks to see if you like it. I mean, this is a pretty serious career, and I would think a fulfilling one. Both of you guys have been state police people for over 20 years, right?
Yes.
So you're in it for good. Is that how most of these folks end up their careers, that they stay in? I imagine you don't have a lot of turnover once you got in there and you're permanent.
That's correct. There's not a lot of turnover. This is a career.
Right.
Those that start, they're in it for the long haul. And this is, I think, most troopers out there, if not all, this is what they want to do. And they're dedicated to the job that they're doing.
Are the jobs separated at all? For example, if I were to become a trooper tomorrow and they assign me to, say, the turnpike or some sort of traffic thing, could I work my way into the criminal stuff, or are you trained for both? I mean, are there tracks? I guess I'm getting at is, are there criminal tracks and then traffic tracks and other things, or do you just learn everything?
I'll take that.
Looking at you, but you can jump in here,
right,
Dennis.
Basically how it works, once you graduate from the academy, you're going to be placed at a station. You're going to do patrol work. And then at some point in time, there's going to be openings. If you're interested in the mounted unit, you're interested in criminal investigation, interested in maybe the forensics, there's a process that you can go through to then go on to that next job or specialized positions, what we call it. However, it's competitive. There's a test that you take and there's a process that you go through, and then the best candidate is selected.
Yeah, well, I served in the military and I remember that's how it was there, that things would come up, literally put things on the wall. You know, there's an opening for this, or opening for that, or you can apply for this. So it's pretty much the same way here. You can go where you're interested.
Yeah, if you come in to the Pennsylvania State Police, get signed to a patrol, get signed to a patrol unit, if you don't do anything else on your own, you'll be a patrol trooper the rest of your career.
Gotcha.
Right. You either have to take the test for promotion or put in for a specialized position.
So you could have a little initiative now and then, right, just to kind of get ahead. And that's true in life, and I think that's the way it should be here as well. Because I had a neighbor of mine who actually was in the aircraft unit of state police, and he flew airplanes and helicopters around, so that was something he wanted to do. So that's where he ended
up doing
that.
Who was
that? His name was Doug Brigham.
I knew Doug very
well. And Doug, as you know, died tragically up in Levittown.
Yeah, I used to fly with Doug. Yeah, I was in the aviation.
He was literally lived about two houses down where I lived, and we knew him as a young man. In fact, I will tell a story out of school about Doug when I first moved to where I was living there in Westchester, where Doug and I live. He was only about 15, and that was the first time I ever saw an ATV, and he was racing all over my field and trampling all the flowers and everything else. And I knew that was probably right then I should have known he was going to be a state policeman. So that's very interesting. Yeah, Doug was a great guy. And so I think this is interesting because if there is a career path for somebody, it certainly is a good one. You're paid well, are you not, compared to other police officers?
I think we do all right. Yeah.
So that's another incentive to where you could come to work for this outfit. But it's a little bit like the Marines. You have to work to get into this thing, is that?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
There's a process, and those that want to do it, it's there to do.
Right. Okay, we have just a few minutes left, so let me just swing into one other thing. Sergeant Gulick, you mentioned that you have an alternative community man here.
Yes.
At this barracks, who goes around and township meetings, maybe occasional Rotary Club address, whatever. So if someone in an organization in Bedford County wanted to get a hold of you to have a trooper come by and explain what they do, they could use this resource here. Is that right?
Yes. Schools will use me a lot. They'll call me up and say, hey, can we have your CS community service officer come and speak to my kids on career day or something like that?
Right.
And that's one of the things that I do as well. I'm part of the community service unit as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go into the schools and talk to the kids about various topics, go into the driver's ed classes and speak to the students about driving safety, and also talk to community groups as well as far as crime prevention and some trafficking initiatives, that sort of thing.
I attended a presentation by the state police once when they had an area called Franklin Center, I think it's called Media now, but and I remember the trooper coming in and showing the high school kids his car, and he had an unmarked car, and it was all souped up. It had all this special stuff on it. Well, the boys practically went wild when they saw the police car, and he was making the point, you can't get away from us with this car. and then they would come in and they would show a wrecked car and what happens to people when they speed and you know, do bad things like drink and drive. So I assume that you're doing that kind of a program, maybe not that, but that kind of a program with these.
Yes, that's the type of program that we'll do as far as traffic safety and driver safety for driver's ed students.
Do you have a souped up car too, like this guy did, or
no? No, we don't.
All right, don't do that anymore. Okay, well, you guys have been terrific. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. We miss anything here? Anything important? We miss anything? I don't want to leave here, you know, wanting here. Okay.
We covered most of everything.
Well, if you want to learn more about what these guys are doing and specifically on how to be a trooper, just go to patrooper.com. And I'm sure Jeff or one of his colleagues will get back to you and let you know what the process is. And again, I want to thank you both, Sergeant Dennis Gulick and Trooper Jeff Petucci. You've been great guests, and thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's Destination Delco. And by Thomas Chevrolet, saving you time and money and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday, beginning at 8:30, to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.